streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, Vice President Kamala Harris says former President Donald Trump's recent violent comments directed at Liz Cheney are yet more evidence he's not qualified to be president.
She is tough. She is incredibly courageous and has shown herself to be a true patriot at a very difficult time in our country.
Trump today refused to apologize for saying of Cheney, let's see how she feels about it when the guns are trained on her face. Trump's running mate J.D. Vance is in battleground Michigan.
We are not bad people for thinking that Kamala Harris ought to do her job and close down the damn border.
Two people killed, six others wounded in two shootings by a single gunman in downtown Orlando. Police Chief Eric Smith.
Two victims were shot in the leg. One victim was shot in the foot. One victim was shot in the hand. One victim was grazed by a bullet to the head. One victim sustained a gunshot wound to the upper back. One victim was trampled by, as the crowd dispersed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state cross-country meet happens tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids. This will be the 112th running of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association Boys Cross Country Championships and the 50th annual Girls Cross Country Championships. It's at Ridges Golf Course beginning at noon on Saturday, November 2nd. The girls and the boys will both run a 5,000-meter course. The girls will race first, starting at noon. The boys' races will start at 2. The awards ceremony will be held at the Ridges Golf Course beginning 15 minutes after the start of the final race. You can purchase tickets at the WIAA website. The weather is changing, and that means it's time for fall home maintenance. Brittany Merlot explains what we should do.
The Better Business Bureau is reminding us of important tips to prepare your home before winter weather arrives. Like clean your gutters, inspect your roof, test your smoke and carbon dioxide detectors, check your windows and doors for air leaking, and organize your garage and store patio furniture and other outdoor items inside. You can visit BBB.org for more home maintenance tips.
A friend of our station, and of many in our listening area, passed away unexpectedly last weekend. Jackie Caratini of Mosinee, an associate professor in human development and relationship educator for UW Extension of Wood County, died on Sunday, October 27th. Jackie was a regular guest on Midday Magazine. Jackie's children, family, friends, co-workers, and all who knew her are grieving her loss. A mass of Christian burial will take place at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, November 5th at St. Paul Catholic Church in Mosinee. The visitation will be on Monday, November 4th, from 4 to 7. Best Funeral Home in Mosinee is assisting the family with arrangements. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A Packer named Defensive Player of the Month. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packer safety Xavier McKinney named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month. McKinney, a free agent from the Giants, leads the league with 6 interceptions. I asked him, how did he feel when Matt LaFleur made the announcement in a team meeting?
I felt good. I mean, me personally, I think there was another month that I should have wanted too. But at the end of the day, it's a great honor, and I'm happy about it. But, you know, there's more to do.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. The Badgers head to Iowa to face the Hawkeyes 6:30. Tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium. On the line, the Heartland Trophy. NBA, the Bucks losing last night to the Grizzlies 122-99 in Memphis. Grizzlies guard Ja Morant with 26 points. The Bucks have lost 4 in a row.
We got to fix this. We didn't make shots, and we have to find a way to get stops. Morant had a free pass tonight as far as driving, and so we got to do a better job of figuring out how to contain guards like that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Get ready, Badger fans. Wisconsin men's hockey is back for the 24-25 season at the Kohl Center. After last year's breakout success, head coach Mike Hastings and the Badgers are looking to keep the momentum going. And you can be part of it. Don't miss out on securing the best seats in the house. Whether you're looking for single game, four game mini pack, or group tickets, we've got you covered. For more information and to secure your Badger men's hockey tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows low 30s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs mid 50s. Cloudy with passing showers Sunday, highs in the low 50s. More rain around for Monday, even a few rumbles of thunder, highs mid 60s. It's 46 right now.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, November 1st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Rhonda James from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Looking forward to talking with her. Right now, on the phone line, we have with us Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Always happy to be on with you, James.
What we're going to do right now is wrap up our candidate series where we've been interviewing each candidate for our local offices. And what I've been doing is doing the same thing that WFHR has done for 80 plus years. I've asked each of our candidates the same questions. I do no follow-ups. We give them the equal amount of time and then kind of go on. And with our representative where we had Senator Teston on and Representative Krug, we have a little extra time with them. So we'll take a beat and we'll kind of get to the rest of the conversation there. But to start off, Scott, could you tell us, especially to those that may not know out there, I know you've done this a number of times, but give us a little bit of your backstory, if you will, Scott.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's always part of the education process is starting over with new listeners, so I don't have a problem at all. So, like, originally out of college, I was in law enforcement. And I started seeing all the same things that people would do to each other on a daily basis, and I give kudos to everybody that stayed in that profession, but it was not for me, so I ended up went into the programming realm, working in the drug court in Wood County and starting some, job development type programs. So that's kind of my basic background was law enforcement and the programming and trying to stop recidivism. Those are the policy things that really got me interested in Madison. And the ultimate backstory is it's the fourth grade field trip. I mean, that was the iconic thing that fourth graders in the state should all get a chance to get to the Capitol and see the building and wonder what that is. And I think that really planted the seed for the career that I talked about that got me down to Madison.
Hmm. Why did you decide, you touched on this a little bit, but why did you decide to run for office and to do this position, to do this job?
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I first ran way back in 2002 on the idea that it was the fourth grade field trip, the nostalgia thing that stuck in my head. I learned how to do everything wrong, then lost the four-way primary absolutely horrifically. And kind of waited around and stayed involved and understood what politics were. And during the height of the recession, the reason I ultimately ran in 2010 was during the height of the recession, I saw state government raise taxes by $5 billion and take in $5 billion of federal stimulus money and almost double the size of the state budget. And it just, I knew that had impacts on families across the state and, all the related policies to that. So I wrote to my elected rep at the time and he ignored me. So, instead of staying angry at TV and things like that, my wife told me, well, maybe it's time to give it a try again. So that's the actual real 2010 reason I ended up running, besides all the background I talked about from being a kid.
Scott, what qualifies you? How do you feel you specifically can best represent this area?
I think the biggest qualification is having a broad knowledge of different things that have happened in life. And I think, having been married twice and having six kids and grandkids and owning a business and, the policy background I've had in previous careers. I mean, every little aspect of every little experience you have makes you, a well-rounded, qualified individual, because they always say nobody's an expert on anything in the legislature. You just have to know a little bit about it so you know which side's coming at you with the truth. So I think just that well-rounded aspect to everything and life experience really helps somebody be a good state rep, and that's why I think I am.
How do you feel your previous jobs have prepared you for this one while you've been doing, in the process of doing it?
Yeah, I mean, every job that I've had has been involved with people, right? And just understanding the psychology of people, who they are, why they do what they do, and trying to help understand what their motivations are, really all culminates in me doing what I've done in Madison now for all these years, is trying to help understand where people are coming from, what their needs are, how can we meet those needs, how can we find compromise with somebody who might be opposed to it. So it's just all of those jobs I've had in the past, I mean, all lead into building those people skills and understanding why we all want what we want or act how we act.
Speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug, and Scott, what are your passions? What would you like to focus on if reelected?
You know, the biggest one for me has always been local issues, you know, whether it's been helping to get the airport, you know, refurbished and get ready for Sand Valley, or creating some site-specific rules to get rid of blue-green algae in our lakes. It's just trying to be able to be the voice of the people of the district in Madison's always been my specialty, and I think been able to accomplish a lot of those goals with bipartisan, you know, achievement on both sides of the aisle that we can all take credit for while getting a win for our local community. So I'm excited about that. I mean, on a statewide basis, I really would love to see us do more to help folks who are retired to want to stay in Wisconsin. I think that's probably the next priority on a statewide level, making sure if you have a lower income during retirement that we don't tax it to death. So that's kind of the priority in the upcoming session here, is to focus on seniors more.
With that, what do you feel are some of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges facing your fellow Wisconsinites?
I mean, right now, 100%. I mean, I'm knocking on doors not only everywhere in the district, but around the state, and everybody's talking the same thing. And it's just the cost of our society today, the inflation, the things that lead to it, the decisions that government can be involved in to help alleviate that. You know, second, a lot of people are talking, obviously, federal issues more than state issues at our doors, even, because sometimes it gets confusing. You hear a lot about, you know, immigration and how that actually affects us at a state level is more on, you know, pricing of housing, you know, safety in our communities. I mean, all those things that are federal issues, we do have a hand in at the state in one way or another. So we try to help out with those things. And I think that's kind of what the folks are asking us to do in the next legislative session.
Survey after survey, poll after poll, we are seeing people that are done with the divisiveness of today's politics. How important is it to you to be able to reach across the aisle, to be able to work with the other side?
Yeah, I mean, best I can say to their concerns is amen. Like, it's just, it's one of the things that's most frustrating about this job is that after you're done doing the business of the day, when the cameras are on, all the individuals and all the players that you hear about on TV or see in the news, they're all talking to each other as normal human beings. So I really set forth as the chair of campaigns and elections this year to kind of get us back to that point where we do all remember that we're actually all there for the same reason, for the improvement of our state, for the citizens of Wisconsin, and trying to quit questioning people's motives as much as we have done in the past has been really nice to see happen this last legislative session, because it's something I've done with almost every bill I've written is look out for that bipartisan approach to get it done. But I think on a wider scale, we all have to take a focus on that.
You are running to represent the 72nd district. How would you best describe the district?
It's home, right? I mean, I get choked up when I talk about it sometimes, because I mean, it's where I grew up. It's where I've raised my family. It's where my family has been for, you know, 130 some years, all the way back to the Babcock in the early days of cranberry growing. And just even the way the new map has changed and incorporates some of my, you know, old stomping grounds of Juneau County, where I was a sheriff's deputy for a couple of years. And, it, you know, Castle Rock and Pete and Well are right smack dab in the middle of it, and they just make up the tourism base of this district. And it's just, it's home. And I couldn't be happier with the way that the district is shaped right now.
And Scott, as we wrap up, any final statements on this?
I don't think so. I think, you know, my record of achievement really speaks for itself, and I've never been one of those guys to say, hey, look at this or look at that. But we have got a lot of local bills done that usually just don't happen in a split, you know, legislative governorship time. So it's nice to be able to be one of the common sense voices in Madison and provide some leadership for the rest of the folks down there.
Thank you, Scott, very much for answering these questions and for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem.
Want to thank all of our candidates for joining us, every one of them for being on the air with us. It was not only great to have them with us, but to be able to inform our community and make sure that they have everything they need to know as they lead into the election. And I'm going to use that as a bit of a segue to go into kind of our regular conversation when we get together for once a month, Scott. And I do appreciate that we're able to do that and the transparency we're able to, especially given it's an election year and not a new job for you, but a job that you have picked up in recent times involving our elections. Can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. So I am out knocking on doors Monday through Saturday all over the state of Wisconsin, while still being the chairman of campaigns and elections in one of the most contentious presidential races in history. So literally my day-to-day, James, is I'll walk into doors for about 15, 20 minutes, then somebody will call me from somewhere in the state where they're having a question about elections, where I'll stand on a street corner in the middle of Altoona and have to call a county clerk in Dane County or Milwaukee County just to get an answer, which I am so glad people are asking ahead of time about. Or if they just had a question at the polls, that would be an accusatory, they're calling to ask, well, what's this about? So it's dynamic this cycle compared to 2020, where we saw a lot of the waiting until after Election Day to bring up concerns and issues. Now everybody's open, honest, up front. Everybody knows everybody's watching each other, and we are actually having a really smooth election cycle. First 2 weeks of early in-person voting and all the absentee voting that's gone on, we're about 2 million votes in out of 3.5 million registered voters right now.
What are some of the main things that you are hearing from people, questions that are being asked or concerns that you are seeing and addressing?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I can't tell you how many places I've been where everybody is talking about just the cost of living in America and trying to fulfill their basic needs at this point. And it's crazy. It's not hyperbole. I don't do this during campaign season for a purpose because everybody thinks it's a campaign speech sometimes. But when you hear people using those phrases and those terminologies, like I can't afford this and I can't afford that, you start seeing a theme everywhere around the state. So those are, you know, we pick up on that one the most. Second is abortion policy. A lot of people ask at the doors what an individual candidate's position on that is. So I think those are probably the top two that I hear at the doors everywhere every day.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, sometimes you go ahead.
I'm sorry, Scott. I was speaking more so to the election, but I appreciate the answer. I appreciate hearing those things. It's always good to hear what you're hearing, talking with people and everything. But as far as the election goes, it seems like one of the things that you're finding is communication with our clerks and the importance of that and strengthening that.
Yeah, and I've been saying on social media all the way through is that, hey, if you have a question about elections or you're seeing some numbers about something, let's call people and find out what the answers are, because this whole last year and a half or almost 2 years as chair of that committee have built up all these relationships where even, what was it, Tuesday night, a state rep from up north texted me a picture of something she saw somewhere with Dane County. So I called the Dane County clerk and said, hey, Scott, what's going on with this? He's like, yeah, this is what happened. So within 10 minutes of somebody raising the concern, I got to a clerk and got an answer back to the individual, and it's really put out a lot of fires that have happened, you know, here and there with one-off situations across the state. You know, we have, you know, all of these clerks across the state all doing the super best they can with, you know, massive numbers of in-person early voters. There's going to be some quirks still because people are people. But it's just on the other end of it, there's other people that can help answer those questions. So it's been great to take those concerns and answer them right away.
And how are you feeling compared to, as you mentioned, 2020 or years past, other election cycles going into this election, the confidence, how you feel going into this election?
Yeah, I think, you know, after 2020, there's no secret that, you know, confidence was at an all-time low because there were so many people that had heard about this or heard about that. So I think, you know, throughout the last 4 years, not just the two I've been chairman, but we've seen people play into that fear and cause it to get worse. But then we've also seen the side that we're taking now where we're trying to answer questions, be openly communicative, just make sure everybody's comfortable. So I still say there's a level of folks who have a distrust, But my goal here on election night in 24 is to prove them that, you know, everything is, you know, copacetic and we're good to go in our election system, because it's always worked in Wisconsin up until that COVID election. And nobody's had real questions about our process before.
There's something happening here that is bothersome to me as somebody who genuinely enjoys politics and loves democracy. As one of the bigger things that I can say that I love unquestionably in life is our democracy and the way we run things. And there's something that has been I've been noticing and I'm picking up. I got in more fights than I can count in before I was 10. I grew up in a bit of a violent way. And when I moved up here to Wisconsin, it was a bit of culture shock and I had to adapt. And it took me, I'm not proud of this, but it took me into my early 20s to realize I walked around everywhere with my fists clenched. And if I walk around all day with my fists clenched, I'm probably going to get in a fight. I had to learn to stop doing that. If we jump on things before they even happen, we oftentimes are going to make things happen or could you know, create things that don't even need to be. And right now we are seeing a lot of people making plans for November 6th and not good things and things that hurt our democracy. If we are to make this a trusted thing, our democracy and our voting process, I don't feel like we're doing ourselves any service by jumping the gun and saying already, well, I'm not going to accept the what happens or this or that. How can you accept results if you win but don't accept them if you lose? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And how can you walk into an election with your fists clenched when that you can't vote that way? You can't go into anything this way, but walking into an election, this one, this big, feels like we're walking around with our fists clenched.
It is. And I think sometimes people just have to be able to ask questions and just let their guard down for a minute and figure out the answers, because the people that you cite who are doing the, I don't know if I'm going to accept the result type stuff, are also the ones who fan some flames other times too. So it's just a matter of trying to ignore those things as best you can and just get the information yourself from a trusted source. That's the best I can tell people, is just take a breath, give somebody a call that knows something. It doesn't have to be me. It can be your county clerk. It can be your city clerk, your municipal clerk. I mean, there are people that run these elections that you can trust, and especially in central Wisconsin. It's beyond reproach. So there may be questions here, questions there, but, you know, when anybody asks me, what's our election system like here, it is 100% rock solid. Like, there is no question. I trust all of my clerks here in central Wisconsin to do the absolute letter of the law and get the job done.
You know a little bit about getting things done as well with the amount of things that you have accomplished in the time you have been in office, Scott. Are there highlights for you when you look back at, you know, you have an election coming up like you do in less than a week from now and stuff, and you look back at some of the things you've done, and, you know, like, I'm really proud of this, and I imagine you're proud of all of these things, but ones that stand out?
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, when I drive down, you know, I drive up I-39 towards Wausau, and you go past the Skyward Building and understand that we were able to save that just, you know, with an idea that sprung up from central Wisconsin legislators to say, let's save 1,000 jobs. To see that new building, I go past it, super cool. Or when we're out on the lake on Castle Rock and there's a lot less blue-green algae out there, that's probably the thing I'm second most proud of, is just to be able to clean up our area waters and make sure people can use them recreationally. And I think the biggest one that'll prove the longest-term impact is the work I've done on financial literacy. Every school in the state has to have some hand in their curriculum to help people understand how this relates to their everyday life and their finances, because so many people fall behind because they sign up for a free credit card at a Brewers game, and people don't understand the impact of those things sometimes. So, yeah, it should all start at home. But sometimes when the last generation didn't have the information to pass on, we've got to figure out a way to do it. So our schools have stepped up amazingly on financial literacy. I mean, there are a lot of cool things about this job.
And Scott, as we wrap up, you know, none of us know what's going to happen on November 5th necessarily, or, you know, whether your term ends soon or way, way down the line. Certainly like to plan for the future and like to plan ahead a little bit. And one of the things I've been trying to do is get Scott to talk a little sports with me whenever he's on the air. Maybe we get him on our sports show and you can co-host our sports show with us or something like that.
I'm ready. I've been warming the pipe. Yeah.
World Series, man. That World Series was pretty amazing. Even without having one of our local teams in it and having these big conglomerates in there, it was a little bit of a letdown, I think, in some ways. But, man, they gave us a wild fifth inning.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, I mean, to see the Yankees and Dodgers in a World Series, no matter what you think of those teams, it's iconic, right? I mean, that's the coolest type of World Series. It's like Kansas City and St. Louis. You know, I mean, you know, the Mets versus the Yankees. I mean, there's a few World Series combinations. They're always cool, and Dodgers, Yankees will be that. But it just showed how lazy the Yankees are.
Ugh.
Like, it's just so much money. Maybe they make too much money. They just don't want to try every play. It's like, I don't get it, but, you know, you see those younger, hungrier teams, and, you know, the Dodgers are just a bunch of scrappy players who ended up becoming superstars of their own, and then you add in Freddie Freeman and Shohei, it's like, oh, come on.
The Dodgers seemed like they were playing like they hadn't won a title in 15, 20 years. It felt like to me like they were hungrier than New York was. It was New York almost seemed like relieved to get there, where the Dodgers were kind of like, oh, work ain't done. Well, we've got work to do. Certainly to Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Freddie Freeman doing all ankle.
I think the Padres really motivated the Dodgers. The Padres were coming hard. So, I mean, I thought the Padres had this whole thing wrapped up earlier in the postseason, but That's really what sparked the Dodgers to destroy the rest of the games after those first four with San Diego. So
certainly shift gears into football season, of course, and get ready for that, or get into that. And got a big one coming up this weekend, Detroit and Green Bay. That is going to be an interesting. Well, all eyes will be on that.
Well, you know, it depends on how much Jordan Love plays and how much Malik Willis plays. And, I mean, it's like the offense is almost more creative when Malik's in there, because LaFleur's got to think more. So I love to see him get that creative when Jordan Love's in the game and see what they could do. But
agreed. Yeah, we will see, and we'll be looking forward to it, and certainly we'll be talking about it probably the next time you join us, Scott. If people want to find out more and ask any of these questions we brought up or anything like that, Scott, how can they reach you?
Yeah, cell phone's like almost always on. It's 715-323-3293. And just a final last plug, like Tuesday night, election night, even if you're just bored, just keep an eye on my Facebook. I'll be updating races regardless of where you stand on them. So we'll be putting numbers out, and I have a party out at the Ridges to Carl Rove all these numbers up. It's my favorite part of the election cycle. So,
looking forward to that. Yeah, I'll be paying attention. And as always, appreciate the time, Scott. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Join David Farnborough on Realty Radio on WFHR for the latest insights on housing market shifts and strategies to overcome today's challenges. As a dedicated realtor serving central Wisconsin, David blends traditional service with modern technology to enhance your experience. Discover the essence of fair housing from someone genuinely committed to helping you reach your real estate goals. Tune in, empower yourself with expert real estate knowledge. Tune in to WFHR every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 for Realty Radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin is home to one of the priciest contests for a congressional seat in the entire country. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
The most expensive political race in western Wisconsin's history is the battle for the 3rd District Congressional seat held by first-term Republican Derek Van Orden. Nearly $12 million has been spent on the race, which is the most ever for the district, and is also the most expensive competition for a congressional seat in Wisconsin this year. Van Orden has raised over $6.6 million so far, while Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook has raked in over $5.3 million as of October 16th. The election is on Tuesday. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Stevens Point is recognized by the National Weather Service as a storm-ready community. They've acknowledged the city's commitment to preparing for severe weather events to ensure the safety of residents. To earn the recognition, Stevens Point has demonstrated a proactive approach by establishing a comprehensive emergency management plan, conducting community training programs, and enhancing their communication systems. Today is the last day to get on the list for fall yard waste collection in Wisconsin Rapids. Place your yard waste and leaves in paper yard waste bags and put them on the curb. No plastic will be accepted. Call the city garage to be placed on the list for pickup before 2 p.m. on Friday. That number is 715-421-8218. You can also sign up at wirapids.org. Compost sites are still open and waste can also be taken there. All kids in the area are invited to story time at El Cafe at a new time. It's today, Friday, at 4 p.m. Kathy McGrath will have story time in Port Edwards at El Cafe at 4 today. The kids will get a raffle ticket and a chance to win Mr. Hedgehog and a book to take home with them. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff is proposing legislation that would help keep film and TV production here in the United States. Variety reports that the film industry has wanted these incentives for a long time to help keep production from going overseas. Production in the U.S. has dropped consistently the last 3 years. Variety says the federal incentives would supplement incentives that already exist in states like Georgia, New Mexico, and Illinois. The shower scene in the film Psycho is iconic and made people scared to take showers. Compared to a new shower scene in Terrifier 3, the Psycho scene would be considered subtle, maybe even a love scene. Terrifier 3 is getting attention from the amount of people walking out of the film absolutely disgusted with said scene. One person in the UK actually vomited while watching the scene where two lovers are chainsawed to death in the shower. Filmmakers used 110 gallons of blood. What's really scary is there were probably some people in the audience watching with a smile on their face. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows low 30s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs mid 50s. Cloudy with passing showers Sunday, highs in the low 50s. More rain around for Monday, even a few rumbles of thunder, highs mid 60s. It's 46 right now.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lyerly join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, November 1st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here today, and we're going to talk with our good friend, Rhonda James, with the ADRC of Central Wisconsin. She is a nutrition program director over there. Rhonda, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good morning on this
bright and crispy November morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Just to kick off November. And it's a great way to do it with our friends at the ADRC. Rhonda, before we dive into some of the services that are offered to for our clients and our people, our community, really, can we just touch on real quick, the when we say the ADRC of Central Wisconsin, what is the range of what the area you guys cover?
Right. It's a pretty large region. Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin covers Wood County, and that also includes Marathon County and then Lincoln and Langlade counties. So Anago, Merrill, Wausau, and Wood County, Wisconsin Rapids, Marshfield.
So a pretty big portion of to cover for our ADRC.
It is a big, big area, and we work really hard to consider all the residents within our counties, our four county border, to make sure that they have access to and are aware of the different services we offer.
And if I can say, you guys do an amazing job at it. The years I've been doing this job, I've heard only good things about the ADRC and all the good work that they have done and been able to help our communities with. It's greatly appreciated. It's part of what we love having you guys on the air to talk about. We love highlighting the services and classes and events you guys do. We also love the chance to be able to let you know how much we appreciate you. And that's not to come in. I am more of a megaphone for the community. I am repeating what I hear all the time in our communities. And some of those services that we're thankful for, we're going to talk about today. And I bring up the coverage area and the amount of things that are on your guys' plate, no pun intended, because we are looking for volunteers and we are looking for help from Meals on Wheels.
You bet. So in our large service area, in the city or rural, we are looking for ways to get Meals on Wheels delivered to people who are 60 and older and mostly homebound, not able to prepare meals for themselves. And so that looks different in different locations, but one of the things that ties it all together is the obvious, the food. But what really makes it happen is our team of staff and volunteers. There is simply no way we could serve 150,000 meals in a year without the hands and hearts and smiles of our volunteers.
Yeah, and we greatly appreciate the people that do this. And when we talk about Meals on Wheels and the services that this offers, let's provide, like, it does this in three unique ways, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm. The Meals on Wheels?
Yes. Yeah. Meals for Seniors provides three different ways of being able to help our seniors. There's Meals on Wheels we touched on. There's Cafe 60 as well.
Right. Right. We have Cafe 60 that serves seniors 60 plus a healthy, balanced meal at a restaurant location where we contract with the restaurant owner. And we have two locations at the moment, and they are in Stratford, rural Marathon County, and then on the west side of Wausau, Vino Latte Cafe.
Mm, excellent. And there is senior dining that is available as well.
And senior dining, which, you know, I think the majority of your listeners are in the Wisconsin Rapids and beyond that city. And so, right, so senior dining, we serve adults that are age 60 and older and their spouse, no matter their age, a balanced meal at lunchtime in two different locations in the Wisconsin Rapids area. So Centralia Center in Wisconsin Rapids, it's connected to the, sort of all part of the Lowell Center and Park Place Adult Day Services. Far end of the building from the VA clinic.
Right on.
And then we serve meals also at Nakusa Community Center. Mm-hmm. And then we serve at Second Street Community Center in Marshfield.
Thank you for that, Rhonda. Appreciate it. I want to talk about what Meals on Wheels is and how you out there can help and be a part of it. But before we do, we don't get a chance to touch on this part of it very often. We put a lot of our focus on looking for volunteers, and understandably so. But Rhonda, if there's somebody out there listening that could benefit from Meals on Wheels, but they're not a part of the rotation, if you will, can they be a part of it? Can they find out more about it?
Absolutely. The best way to get started with talking with our team about Meals on Wheels services is by calling us. And our toll-free number is the best way to reach us. And that toll-free number is 888-486-9545.
We'll make sure to get that information out there again before we wrap up. But thank you for that, Rhonda. Certainly anybody out there that's listening that could be benefited by Meals on Wheels wants you to reach out and be a part of the rotation. And certainly we need people to help deliver those meals. Volunteers for this are always in need. And, you know, I want to talk about what the volunteering process is like for individuals doing this. But I do have to say that there are very few things that I can say unabashedly, you are going to feel good from, that without question, you are going to enjoy and are going to be a good use of your time. And Meals on Wheels is one of those, way at the top of the list for me, as far as volunteer opportunities that can be just as invigorating and encouraging as doing them as it is receiving. And Meals on Wheels is one of these where you benefit just as much as the clientele does.
100%. I feel that energy from you because I know you have delivered Meals on Wheels in the past. Yeah. And we hear that from our volunteers. It gets me out of the house. A lot of our volunteers say, gets me out of the house and maybe I'm really busy, but I can commit 2 hours of my week. It's not much time for me. I can commit 2 hours of a week, 2 hours a month. You know, we look to each volunteer to talk with us about what they can commit per time and then make arrangements. And I hear a lot from our volunteers that not only do they enjoy being part of something bigger than even just their community. I mean, that connection to the community is quite meaningful to our volunteers. They also build connection to one another, though, as volunteers, and we often see new friendships develop.
You know, one of the things that I hear from people so often is, I want to put into my community, I want to give back, but I don't have a lot of money or I don't have a lot of time. And I almost every single person will bring up Meals on Wheels to them because for that person out there, boy, do we got the volunteer opportunity for you. I think especially to those out there who haven't volunteered a lot or maybe haven't done it in a long time or something. Sometimes we think of, well, I want to volunteer for this, and we approach it like it's a job. They're going to want me for, you know, 8 hours a day doing this, this, and this every day, Monday through Friday. And it's not like that, especially with Meals on Wheels, where, as Rhonda was saying, they want to work with you. They will work with your schedule. Whatever your freedom is, if there's availability there, we'll find a way to make it work.
Yes, and we do just that. We have some volunteers who do come in 5 days a week, but that is not our expectation of those who are willing to jump in. A lot of our volunteers will choose one day a week that works for them and learn one of the delivery routes and put themselves on the schedule for once a week. And, you know, they come into the kitchen around 10:30 to pick up the meals for delivery, and they're done at the latest by noon. We do have one route out of our Wisconsin Rapids and our Marshfield locations that is a little bit shorter. So it's designed for someone who only has about an hour to come and get the meals, deliver them, and return with the delivery bags within, like, their lunch hour.
That's a great example right there.
Yeah, it's really neat to see sometimes just individuals that do, you know, they come in on their lunch hour themselves and deliver meals and get back to their day. They eke out the time for that. And then we also see some businesses who, as an organization, choose to say, we are going to deliver a route of Meals on Wheels every other Wednesday, two Wednesdays a month. That's what we can commit to. Hmm. So we schedule around that and make sure it's a time frame that fits for them. And I've heard some really neat stories from coworkers who do that as a team, maybe not always together. It's usually just one at a time. But the partnerships even that they develop as coworkers within their workplace, mm-hmm. fun to hear those stories.
Yeah.
And that engagement they have with the customers in the community.
It's got to be such a great way for the individuals and that business to take a little more pride in their business and their community. Another extension of something to enjoy during the job or during the workday. And on an economic aspect of it, if you are a business, there are very few things that you can get more bang for your buck PR wise than working with your nonprofits and especially Meals on Wheels or anything. Everybody in marketing, anybody business out there is certainly got a marketing department or looks into this. And while we want you to hopefully do these things because your heart, your soul are pulling you to, if I can't reach those, I bet I can reach your wallet and I bet I can reach your marketing team. And there are few things that are going to benefit you better. There is no price you can put on the PR benefit you get from working with the nonprofits, for working with Meals on Wheels. So hopefully one of these things encourages you to do this and be a part of this and help our ADRC and help our community out there, our individuals out there that could use these. The individuals that need these meals are trailblazers. They are the reason we're here right now. They have paved the way for us. It's a way for us to be able to give back to that and also to have a great experience ourselves. Rhonda, you mentioned that I've mentioned that I've done this before, and I brought this up a couple of times, but I haven't gotten into a lot of details about why I did this. And while I did this Meals on Wheels in California, the model is the same here. And I think a lot of you out there might be surprised how much Californians and Wisconsins have in common, especially when it comes to seniors. And the isolation that can exist with that and the being alone. I was working with Special Olympics and that was wrapping up and I was looking for something to give back to the area in California that I was staying. I appreciated it. I wanted to give something back, but I'm an actor. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a lot of free time. And I had no transportation. I was using public transportation. I had a friend suggest to me that worked with Meals on Wheels and saying, hey, you know, this might be something you could do. And I told them right away, well, I don't have a lot of time and I don't have a car. I'm like, well, we can work with that. And they worked with me and they found something that was on the bus line, the bus line with for me, a house that I could, an individual that I could go to. And so I would get the meal and I would carry it on the bus with me to this individual's home. And then I did this again for another person once I got a hand on the route and everything. And it was a little bit, you know, nerve wracking, to be honest, of being on public transportation with this meal and some of that. But once I started doing it, it became a part of my my weekly routine. And to be honest with everybody, I started dealing with a lot of isolation when I was out in California. I didn't have any family or friends out there. I was just out there on my own and I needed something. I know that I was benefited from this as much as the individuals that I was delivering meals to. That isolation that I was feeling, they knew something that times 100. And they gave me a perspective and gave me some understanding of this that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. It's just my experience. And there are 100,000 examples of this out there that are maybe something that you can relate to out there. But certainly one thing I think that all of us can relate to is that idea of wanting to not be isolated and feeling for people that are. And this is where you can so much be a part of things and really benefit your community by being part of Meals on Wheels.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. It has a different twist from central Wisconsin. I don't know that we have anyone delivering meals using public transportation.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it can't be done. Mm-hmm. And what a gift you were to those that you delivered to, just like our volunteers are for those who package the meals in the kitchen and those who deliver them and do all the things in between. They see the benefit, and there's a give and give between the customer receiving the meal and the person delivering it to them. There's a benefit both ways. There's stories that are shared. And for those who maybe aren't interested in talking a whole lot, a smile between two people goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well said. Very well said. And maybe you are, we certainly are really looking for people to be able to deliver these meals, but, we're also looking for volunteers for other things too. And if you are, interested in that, there are certainly opportunities in other aspects of ADRC to volunteer.
Right. There are, the meals get ready to go out the door for delivery with the volunteers we've been talking about. And the food doesn't hop in the packaging itself. It's a lot of land. And it's a nice, organized, well-oiled machine with a lot of amazing people that show up in the morning to take the food and make it look like a presentable meal in a sealed container and get it all organized. That is a team of people. We're always looking for an extra hand to help, and they do all the work before the food goes out on the road.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, one of the things that we appreciate with our ADRC is certainly the things we've touched on here. But as we're wrapping up, I do want to remind the audience that there are so many other things the ADRC does in your community, and you could reach out to them if you have needs with whether it is senior or adults with diabetes, or if we're talking about dementia support services or support for caregivers. There are classes for healthy living. There is equipment lending. We don't have nearly enough time to talk about all the things you guys do over there.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of the easiest ways to get a good variety of knowledge about what we offer in all of our communities is to pick up a copy of our Choices publication that is out in the community. I think the local library, some gas stations may have it. Grocery stores are much more likely. Or just stop at the ADRC office or a senior dining site. You'll see the menu, which will probably make you hungry and want to join us for yes. your dining meal. But it shows you all of those other things and provides education about caregiving, living with dementia, just every month a variety of information. This month actually is November, and our November publication has an article titled "The Ripple Effect of Gratitude and Volunteering." And I encourage people to check it out either in our written monthly publication called Choices, or they can go to our website and read it. And should I share the website with the listeners?
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. So it's pretty simple. ADRC-CW.org.
Encourage you to bookmark that as well, everybody. It's a great way to keep up on things. But do take that that warning to heart, because as Rhonda was saying that, I was getting hungry just as you were saying that, Rhonda. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. It definitely did get me hungry. And all the things we've talked about here not only give you an example of the volunteer opportunities, but certainly the services and events that go on with our ADRC monthly. They have a wonderful calendar on there that you can see that lays everything out for you perfectly. The website couldn't be more easy to use. It's a wonderful website. I encourage you to check that out. And certainly to anybody in need, especially I feel like I it's almost a monthly thing, Rhonda, where I talk to people that were like me years and years ago when I first started talking with you all and didn't realize I was a caregiver. I talk to so many individuals out there that are dealing with that or in those situations. Cannot you have such an amazing resource in your area or near your area with your local ADRC, wherever you're listening to us, encourage you to reach out to the ADRC. And you may think, well, I don't know what to ask, or I don't know how to approach this or how to start. I didn't either. And I just simply brought up, I didn't, what I just said there, and that got the ball rolling and broke the ice. Right. And it just opened up so many avenues for me and my family. I cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the ADRC. And again, it doesn't have to be a question. It could just be a conversation.
Absolutely. A comment. I am not sure where to start. I'm thinking of so many things to support my mom living in her home.
Yeah.
That could be a starting conversation.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah.
Our staff are trained to talk through that.
Mm-hmm. The information of how to reach you, Rhonda, if we could get that out there one more time.
Right. Calling us at our toll-free number, 888-486-9545. And our website is pretty robust. It's going to be undergoing some construction next year, but it has lots of information right now. And it's adrc-cw.org.
Rhonda, thank you so much to you and your staff, what you guys do in our community, and joining us on the air here today. I appreciate you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, James.
Thank you. You have a great day and a good weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to all of our guests that joined us this week, all of our representatives, all of our nonprofits, so many people that make this community so amazing and make this show so much fun to do. And a special shout out to Pam Hilke, the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam, heart of this station. We'll have more for you next week right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.